You're listening to the Parkway Podcast.
I'm talking to my church family to talk about the importance of understanding that we have to be the catalysts to allow the Holy Spirit to come shock us back to rhythm. I believe that Sunday nights can be a place where we can give space to the miracles of God, and we can say, Lord, let the catalyst of the revival start here.
Welcome to the premiere of Parkway's Prayer and Worship Night service. We gather every Sunday night at 5 p.m. for a deeper and intense style service. Each Sunday night features a new worship team and a speaker from various ministries here at Parkway. The service ends with a time of intentional prayer as we respond to God's word, pray for our community, and pray for one another. Listen as Pastor Jay lays a foundation for what to expect from this new service time and challenges us to enter into new rhythms.
So Lord, as we conclude this time, God, of getting to praise and worship you, God, we just say yes to the deeper things. God, we say yes to your name over our lives. God, to our finances, we say yes to the name of Jesus. God, over every sickness and disease, we say yes to the name of Jesus. God, in every area of our life, God, we say yes to the name of Jesus. Would you begin to move in us? And God, would you help us tonight as we get to hear an awesome message from our pastor? God, would you help us go to that deeper place? God, would you give us ears to hear what he has to say? And God, hearts open to what you want to do tonight. And God, we just thank you for these things in your name. Amen. Amen. As you guys find a seat, can you welcome our pastor up? He has an awesome word for us this morning. Or tonight. Wow, I did it again.
You need to say this morning now.
It is this morning. There we go. If you guys have your Bibles or your Bible apps or whatever you guys have tonight, if you guys would turn to Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 47. I'm just going to read several of these verses and let you guys know and clue in what the direction of these prayer and worship or this Sunday night service is going to be truly all about. I'm thankful for you guys hearing the cry of your pastor's heart to be able to come and be a part of these wonderful services. It's really a challenging our church to create a new rhythm in what God is wanting us to do. And so I'm going to spend the next probably 15 minutes explaining, and then we're going to have some time for prayer and excited to see what God's going to do. We have Pastor Chase on the docket for next Sunday night, Pastor Bethany the following. I was just going over the rhythm. We've got, I think this will be the last time I get to speak on Sunday night, so I just get to come and listen and learn and be a part. But I'm thankful for the many wonderful gifts that we have in this church that are going to be able to share. But I wanted to set some direction tonight and to be able to explain what these Sunday nights are truly going to be all about. Is that okay? So I was, several years ago, I walked into the house after a long day's work. For many of the years that I was youth pastoring, I was bivocational. Bivocational means that I wasn't getting paid by the church. I was getting paid very little by the church and having to, I mean, I've done most everything. Heavy equipment operator. I sold cars for a season. Yes, boo car salesman. That was me. We had a GM that was in our church that allowed us to be able to sell cars when I just could and in between church, and so that's what we did. The previous assignment that I was at, we started in a school, elementary school gymnasium, and that thing blew up, and just God did some incredible things over 20 years, had an incredible youth group. But I was walking in after a long day's work, and I was listening to my wife as she was playing the keyboard or teaching how one of our young ladies in the youth group had to worship and become a worship leader. And I don't know if you've ever seen someone or ever heard someone trying to learn a new trick or a new trade or a new gift. It can be quite crazy to actually walk through that and learn. And I was listening to my wife and her cadence and her rhythm, teaching her how to play a chord and how to play it in the right time. And I was watching my wife, you know, as she was giving the count. And then I can tell when my wife was playing, and then I can tell when the person that was learning was playing. And the patience that my wife was exhibiting to this student, who now is a worship pastor, believe it or not, I was thinking, man, my wife has a lot more patience than I do. So it was in that season when I learned how important rhythm is to a life of worship. Rhythm is important to a life of worship. I was in my study the next day, and I read in Genesis, I believe it is in chapter 3, where Adam and Eve had eaten that thing that they shouldn't have eaten. And the Bible says that they got fearful and ran away because, I quote, I heard the sound of him in the garden. You guys remember that passage of scripture? It was almost like they realized for the first time Their worship was out of rhythm from God. Tracking with me? And so what I believe is happening to the American church, what has happened to a lot of Christians, is we have been found in a place where we are out of rhythm. We had a young lady named Courtney Goldie, who was in our youth group, a wonderful young lady, and she would have this problem with AFib. And she would have to go into the hospital every once in a while. And the way that they treated her for this AFib was to actually shock her heart back. I don't know about you, but I don't want to have AFib. But her rhythm of her heart would be so off that it would be causing her not to live a full life. And there had to come a point where she had to be shocked back to the rhythm that actually needed. And so we're creating this environment that I believe the Lord is asking us to create the vital rhythm that needs to take place for a move of God to take place. So you fast forward. So my wife is teaching the proper rhythm. In the book of Genesis, the Bible says that I heard the sound of God and it was scary, so I ran because I was out of rhythm. When your heart is out of rhythm, there has to be a shock. And introduce the book of Acts chapter 2, and that's what happened at Pentecost. They were waiting for the proper rhythm and cadence to live by. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit filled them, sat upon them, cloven tongues of fire. They began to speak in another language. And out of that experience in chapter 2, verses 40, you begin to see the rhythm or the vital rhythm of a church that is growing. So if you guys have your Bibles, I want to read these seven verses, and I want to talk to you about the vital rhythm of how a church grows. And it's important that you understand that this is not a message from condemnation. It's not a message to guilt trip you into doing right. You guys are already here. Understanding that we have to be the catalysts to allow the Holy Spirit to come shock us back to rhythm. We have lived long enough in church to see the cycles, correct? I grew up in a church, Sunday morning, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, Friday weekend revival services, outreaches. We used to have things called The Door, a coffee shop downtown that was an outreach center Monday through Sunday or Saturday every week, every day of the week. You guys remember those days when the church was actually the church? Now we've created and traded that rhythm in for a rhythm that produces an hour and 10 minutes of service on a Sunday morning. And we cannot talk about certain topics, because if we talk about certain topics, the church folk get offended and they'll go try to find another church. And if they find another church, then the money leaves. And if the money leaves, we can't pay the pastors. And if we can't pay the pastors, we can't act like everything's okay. And so what we're doing is we have this rhythm that has been broken in the American church. And what I believe God is asking for Parkway to do is to present yourself to the Holy Spirit and allow the paddle shocks of the Holy Ghost to hit you, to return you to the proper rhythm. Does that make sense? So let's read the proper rhythm in chapter 40. Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 47. So right after Pentecost, they're on fire. You can't get any more on fire than these people were. Verse number 40 says, And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued in steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, not Panera bread, it was communion, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all of those who believed were together and had all things in common. You ready for this altar call? And sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among them all as anyone has had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, daily, where at? In the temple, their local church house. There was a rhythm to their life. The rhythm of our church today in America is an hour and 15 minutes, 1.5 times a month on average. That's what the stats say for the American church. Our rhythm is consumerism. Our rhythm is what's in it for me. But the rhythm that was found in the New Testament church was daily in one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. And they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor for all the people. And here's the promise. And the Lord added to the church what? Not weekly, not sometimes. Not because they had a good program, not because they had good worship, not because they had a good preacher, but because they were in fellowship together, that when people viewed their culture, their life, you guys understand that you can have a mission statement, but if your mission does not match the culture, it doesn't matter. Culture will eat missions lunch every day of the week. You can say as a church that we are for the lost and only bruised and the broken, and you can say that, but if the lost and only bruised and broken comes in your church and you run from them, your culture is eating mission for lunch. Does that make sense? And the Bible says, and the Lord added to the church those who were being saved daily. Daily. And so the church had this rhythm. And I just want to point out three things about getting back to the rhythm that actually causes the church to go. The first thing that I want to just pause here and say is going to be really hard. But the first thing is that gladness was the front door to their rhythm. So what does the Bible say in verse 41? Then those who what? Gladly received. If the church ever becomes laborious or a job or comes to where you're not happy to go there, it's the number one sign that you have fallen out of the rhythm of a growing church. There's a rhythm. The rhythm that we have to walk into. Now, I understand and I will confess that there is a lot of frustration about how church in America is set up today. It's fake. It has a lot of facades. It has a lot of celebrity pastorisms. It's got a lot of celebrity worship teams. It's got a lot of consumerism. But as my father said, the church is like a ship that has tatters, that has tears in its sails. It's tattered and torn. It's got holes in the side of the ship. But it is the only boat going in. It is this imperfect vehicle that God wants us to be a part of, because it's in this imperfection that we get to practice on each other what it actually means to walk in forgiveness, what it means to walk in grace. And it's in that ability that you begin to learn the rhythm of how God loved you. When I forgive others, I realize that's the same way that God forgave me. And the moment that church becomes a chore is one of the signs that we're not living in the proper rhythm. The Bible says in a vital church, what do they, let's repeat the word. They receive the word of God what? Gladly. When the pastor said, let's pray, seven people didn't just show up to church service. If I say, let's do trunk or treat, we're going to have 1,500 people in the parking lot. But if I call for a prayer meeting on a Sunday night, we'll have seven. Why? Because the sign of the American church is the church is so like anytime you want to move forward as a church, the enemy has so inundated us with ungratefulness and consumerism that none of us are actually glad to be part of the body of Christ anymore. And listen to me, as a pastor, I don't blame you. How many pastoral fallings have we read about in the news in the last 6 months? 9 or 10 pastors have had crazy things happen in their life. They have fallen, and largely the reason why their fall is so great is because we've put celebrity pastors on pedestals that we never should have put them on. And what we have to get back to is we have to get back to the rhythm of saying, I am thankful that I am a part of a vital church. And the gateway to a vital rhythm is learning how to live with gladness and happiness that I actually can show up and actually be a part. I can actually be a part of a Sunday night service, a Sunday morning service. The idea of setting aside a Sabbath, not an hour and 15 minutes of a Sabbath on a Sunday morning, but the idea of a Sabbath that the church would set aside a whole day, one whole day, to worship God together in community and do it not begrudgingly, but do it with gladness of heart. To say, that is my family. That is the people that God has placed in my life to sharpen me. And it's in that community where I'm going to learn what it means to forgive and to love and to be part of a daily growing church. How many are with me? We have to get back to the rhythm of being glad. The moment church becomes a job, it's a sign that you've lost the rhythm. The second rhythm I just wanted to point out, and there's more than these four rhythms that I'm going to share tonight, but the second rhythm is they had a together lifestyle with Jesus at the center. And I want you to notice, community is not at the center of the church. Jesus is. And what we have done is we have swapped the two. We pick our churches by the friend groups that are there because we value community more than we do value Jesus. And what we do is the American church has become, for a lack of a better term, a chamber of commerce where we can have influence peddling in the pews, and we have traded Jesus being in the center to community and influence being in the center. And so the proper rhythm of a church that's on fire, that's growing, is one, they receive the word of God with gladness, and two, they have this together lifestyle that is all about Jesus. It's not about position, it's not about influence, it's not about popularity, but it's about serving each other in love to be able to point and let the world know that Jesus is at the center of our life. And we have to crack that back. I remember, I was raised in a church where Jesus was at the center, and we got to be careful because in the church, we're on this side of the pendulum, and if you sway it all the way to this side of the pendulum, it's just not as good. I grew up in a church where holiness was mistaken for legalism, where people couldn't play Little League because it was on Wednesday nights during church, and we couldn't do things because God forbid God would be mad at us. We get this picture of God that God is a God with a big hammer. And so I'm not saying that we come over here from the hour and 15-minute church over to, hey, let's all be a cult together. That's not correct either. What is correct is that we walk in rhythm with each other enough in the week to know that we do this daily, and when we do it right, people begin to be added to the kingdom. You guys tracking with me tonight? So there's a together lifestyle. Community was the byproduct. It wasn't the focus. If you pick your church based upon your friend group, may I just lightly suggest to you, that's the wrong way to actually pick a church. The right way to pick the church is to find the church that's preaching the gospel, that's allowing the Holy Spirit to lead, and you get behind that church and you say, Lord, I want the community to be the byproduct of that. So there was a glad rhythm. There was a together lifestyle with Jesus rhythm. And then thirdly, there was, and I want you to track with me tonight, here's where we're going to pray. There was a rhythm of miracles. A sign that you're out of proper rhythm is heaven is not being seen on earth and you're not seeing any miracles. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. I don't know about you, but when I see the American church in action, I see where we have put programs over the miraculous of God. Strategy and 501c3 and money and influence will never replace the genuine move of God, and you cannot reproduce the signs and wonders and miracles without the genuine. And so what we're believing for, I want you to know what I'm believing for. I went with Tammy Rhodes and John Anderson, and we went to the hospital room of Dawn, and I looked at her unapologetically in the middle of this crazy diagnosis, and I said to her with tears in my eyes looking at her saying, I know what the doctors are saying, but I want you to know what I am believing for. I am believing for a miracle. That's all I know how to ask. And if things go wrong or things go bad, heaven is your home and you're secure and there's a peace that's going to walk you through this. But as for me and my church and the people that are around us, we're going to believe for the miraculous of God to break out. Because once you're, yeah, come on, give the Lord a big round of applause. Because once you receive the word of God gladly, not begrudgingly, when the pastor is preaching the word of God and teaching you how to walk in sanctification through the Holy Spirit that leads to a great place of holiness, and there's a togetherness with Jesus at the center of it all, and miracles begin to happen because the atmosphere of expectancy is the breeding ground for miracles, and we begin to see signs and wonders that are breaking out, and we have seen signs and wonders at our church breaking out the last 2 years, and it seems like every time we try to break out to do what God's called us to do, the enemy comes and tries to run roughshod with us. But I'm here to tell you, our vision is set that we are going to purpose in our heart for a miracle rhythm, and there is nothing that we are not going to believe for that God can't do. Because we serve a God that He is at its best when the doctors or when life says it's impossible. There's a miracle rhythm. We believe that there's no drug addict too far. We believe that there's no LGBTQ member that's gone too far. We don't believe that God can't reach a murderer in prison. We don't believe that there is nowhere that God's love can't penetrate, because why? When you receive the word of God gladly and you realize that he's done it for you and you begin to walk this road together, there is a byproduct that begins to happen that if God can do it for me, he can do it for them. And that's what's got to be our rhythm as a church, the vital rhythm. Lord, I'm glad to be here on a Sunday night. I'm glad that I didn't get to change and I didn't get to take a nap. And I'm not so glad that the 49ers lost at the end of the game. But Lord, I'm glad to be part of the body of Christ. I believe that Sunday nights can be a place where we can give space to the miracles of God. And we can say, Lord, let the catalyst of the revival start here. Sunday mornings, there's this reverb that is super weird amongst the religious. And yes, we have them at our church. We're an hour and 20 minutes in. If you're not done, if you're not wrapped up, I'm out of here. And I believe that Sunday nights are going to be the catalyst and gateways for the miracles of God that God wants to bring. All right, so the fourth one, and I'm done. Glad rhythm. They were together. They had a together lifestyle with Jesus at the center. There was a miracle rhythm. And their rhythm was based upon this concept of having an open circle. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 47, that they were willing to have people added to their midst daily. The church, if we're not careful, will become the most unfriendliest group of people in the entire world because we think that we're going to lose our place if God sends somebody else. There is no one that will take your place. No one. No one can take your place. If you leave and someone comes, still no one's going to take your place. I don't care if the church becomes 3,000 people. If you left, there would still be a hole there. Because there's only a place that God in the body asks you to fill that if you're not there, then it won't be filled. That's why it's of vital importance that you understand that our church, if we want to see the nations begin to shake with a simple gospel message, the chairs that are sitting next to you on Sunday nights and the pew seats that are open have to be filled with people where we're enlarging our circle every day. And the people that we're going to invite to come in the room are going to be people that are just like us, that are the least deserving of the second, third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth chance. The religious people are going to hate them. They're not going to want anything to do with them. They're going to think that the church is all wrong, but we're going to watch the miracle rhythm of God take over. And we're going to begin to watch miracles in motion. Miracles in motion. I believe that this house, in Jesus' name, is going to be a house where we're going to see miracles in motion. And so I felt like tonight what we were going to do, Jerome, I didn't know if you guys can get ready, and I want you to sing that I Speak Jesus, if you can play that song again. What I see us doing tonight in the next few moments is I wanted us to create an atmosphere in this room where we say, God, would you give us the proper rhythm? So Courtney Goley would have this AFib come on her. I had another young man in my youth group named Derek Tika, and he would have seizures that were so bad that in the middle of service he would start seizing, and I actually had to go through class to be able to help make sure that he maintained a proper safe distance, because your first reaction with people that are with seizures is to go grab them, and you don't want to go do that. You want to get everything out of the way, let the medical thing take its course. That young man received a miracle where God healed him of having those seizures. What I will say is, in every one of those instances, you and I could be genuine and sincere in asking the Lord to change our rhythm, but our rhythm is not going to be changed by a strategy. It's not going to be changed because we want it to change. It's only going to change because you get in the upper room and you wait and you say, Lord, would you revive me again to the proper rhythm that I'm supposed to live by? It's the power of God. The church doesn't need more conferences. It doesn't need more strategies. It doesn't need better ideas. The church needs to return to the proper rhythm of the Holy Spirit. And I want to just take the next 5 or 7 minutes, and I want us to scatter all over this room. We're going to make this whole room an altar. And in a moment, I feel like the Lord said that there's people in here that have been believing for a miracle in their life. Maybe you've got sickness or infirmities. I believe that tonight God wants to perform miracles in this room. I believe that. I believe that some of you are facing diagnoses that you haven't even told anybody. Maybe issues in your relationships or job finances finances for your life that need a miracle. I believe that we're going to begin to pray for miracles and we're going to watch miracles happen. But there is nothing like going to God and saying, God, before you do something for me, I've got to return to the place where I'm just gladness of heart receiving what you want me to receive in this life, which is communion with you. Would you guys stand to your feet all across this room? Would you guys begin to just find a place in this auditorium to pray? And would you just begin to say, Lord, I speak Jesus over every place in my life, and I invite through the power of the Holy Spirit the proper place to get back to the rhythm that I'm supposed to walk in. Jerome, would you sing?
I speak Jesus.
If you could, just right where you're standing or sitting or kneeling, would you stretch both of your hands up towards heaven? And just as they begin to play, would you begin to declare with your own mouth, Lord? Would you cause the proper rhythm of a vibrant church and a vibrant believer's life to be mine? Holy Spirit, we give you permission to shock us back to the place of living a proper rhythm life in you. God, would you help Parkway return to that place where we come back to our first love, where it's you and you alone that have our attention and have our life. That's it. Would you just begin to cry all across this room? Just cry out. Lord, we ask that you would start with us. Start with me in Jesus' name. Start with this pastor. That I wouldn't just go 70% in, 90% in, God, but I would go all in with your will and your way. God, that you would touch our staff and give them what it takes, Father, to find the proper rhythm in you. That you would touch our board members and you would touch our members and touch our attenders, oh God. That you would bring new people as part of our mix. That the rhythm of heaven would be our rhythm. Father, let heaven's rhythm be our rhythm.
Declaring
let heaven's rhythm be our rhythm. Hallelujah.
Yes, I speak Jesus.
Yes, we speak Jesus. We speak Jesus over this church, over our lives. So you're here tonight, and I feel like there's this very clear call that God's going to bring us all to, which I'm going to raise my hand first. I need God to bring me back to the proper rhythm of his kingdom. If that's you, would you stretch up your hand so I can see it? Lord, you see us. Father, we know that you will a move of God. We know that revival is wanting to break out in this valley, this region, this state. We know that you want to use Parkway to be a catalyst in that revival. We know that you've promised it and willed it. Now it's our job to be obedient and walk in it. So, Lord, we give you permission to shock us to the proper rhythm of our lives that need to take place.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
God, you're our priority. Hallelujah. You're the reason.
Hallelujah.
God, would you return us back to our first love?
Yes, Lord.
Remember, Father, we remember where you found us. We remember how pure that walk with you was.
Jesus. Yes.
And Father, we look at our own lives right now and see how many things that we have stuck in between us and you. And Father, just like we did at the beginning, Father, we wipe that slate clean and say, Lord, just make it between us and you again. Father, let it start with us. And we do it gladly. We don't do it begrudgingly. You're not a father that is trying to withhold good things from us. There's a great exchange that takes place. And so, Father, we're thankful that you're wanting to do that. And the second thing, I feel like there's going to be people here that need a miracle. And I don't know if you're sick in your body. I don't know if you need prayer tonight, but I know my brother right here, if we can gather around him. Phil, I wanted to pray for your ears. If that's okay, I wanted to pray that God would touch your ears. I know you've been praying for those ears to come open. Would someone go right next to Phil? Phil, wave your hand right here. Phil's right here. Right there, yeah. Anybody else, if you need a miracle in your body, would you raise your hand so I can send some people to pray with you? You have Mark Rhodes back there. Anybody else? Don Miller right here. He's been believing and praying. Yes, we're thankful. We're just going to take 60 or 90 seconds and we're going to ask the Lord. He's responsible for the answer. We're responsible for the asking.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, you see the needs.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to hand this microphone to my wife. Would you just pray miracle power over these people?
Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you, Lord, with these needs. Father, you see each one of these people tonight. And God, we understand that you have taken all of our healing and all of our sickness, Lord. You took it to the cross. God, you said that it is finished. And tonight we just align our faith with your word. Tonight, Lord God, it is finished.
Lord, we believe it. Lord, you said it, we believe it tonight, Lord God. We thank you for the miraculous power that you're doing in these people's bodies, Lord God. Lord, in their mind, in their ears, in their hips, Lord God, you see the need, God, and we just thank you, Lord, for it. We rejoice, Lord, with these people for the miraculous healing, Lord God. We thank you for it. God, we don't agree with what has been. We agree with what your word says. And your word says that by your stripes we are healed, Lord God. We thank you for the sacrifice, Lord God, that you did already, and it is finished in Jesus' name.
So I want to close with just this final exhortation. And this final exhortation, I want you to look at me, please. Just look. Moves of God are never convenient to our flesh. Moves of God are never convenient to our schedule. They're never convenient. When God's Spirit begins to move, it causes your flesh and your own desires to begin to break. But I'm thankful that we serve a God that when we give those to Him, He doesn't leave us empty-handed. He replaces it with something a lot better. And so I'm going to just invite you guys. I know that it's going to be really simple for us because it's usually, I've been around the church a long time, and here's what I can tell you will happen if our flesh wins, is we'll have a wonderful first service on a Sunday night, and then Sunday afternoon at 3:30 next week, we'll go, that was fun. And then we'll make it twice a month, and then we'll make it one time a month. But I believe that there's a promise that if we'll come and wait on Sunday nights, I believe the power of God is going to be in display, and it's going to start on Sunday nights, and it's going to hit our church on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. That's what I believe. I believe. There's part of my wife and I pastoring here, if I can say this, for the first 2 years, of reclaiming an identity that we gave away. We are Pentecostals. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that when the power of the Holy Spirit hits you, you will speak with other tongues and prophesy. We shouldn't be ashamed of the miraculous. We shouldn't be ashamed of the supernatural. It's really what our world is looking for. They're looking for something that only a supernatural kind of God can actually fill. And so we're facing in our culture, especially this valley, the stigma that the Holy Spirit is the part of the Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God, what's His name? No, the Holy Spirit is the tangible, obvious person of the Trinity that is on this planet to encourage us and points us to our Heavenly Father, to the wonderful gift that is Jesus. And we are not ashamed. We're not ashamed of the power of God that leads unto salvation. And we have to reclaim our identity. And I know you know this, but the reverb that has hit our church the last 2 years is largely because my wife and I, it is a deal breaker for us. A deal breaker. If a church doesn't want the Holy Spirit, it's a deal breaker for us. It's a deal breaker. We want to see the power of God. And it's going to take, listen to me, it's not going to take you agreeing with your flesh. It's going to take you agreeing with the Spirit of God and walking in obedience. And I believe that God will redeem your time. I believe if you give God your Sabbath on Sundays, your Monday through Saturdays are going to be so much fruitful because we serve a God that knows how to redeem times. Amen? Yeah. So Heavenly Father, our direction is set. Father, as Pastor Chase gets ready to bring a word next Sunday night, we come to this house with expectancy. We come with an attitude of saying, Lord, we're all in. And Lord, would you protect our people? Father, I pray that if any condemnation or guilt came from my heart to their heart, that would be gone in Jesus' name, because that's not my heart. These are a bunch of radicals that love you. They wouldn't be here on a Sunday night if they didn't love you. I'm preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to the people that want a move of God. And so, Lord, I thank you that you're going to stir something inside of their hearts and are stirring something inside of their hearts to get back to that rhythm that is you. So, Lord, just like Adam and Eve said in that garden, but we're going to do it a little bit opposite. Lord, we hear the sound of you, and we're not going to run from you. We're going to run to you. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, love you guys. We'll see you guys next Sunday morning.